You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. We love the earth. It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, August 2nd, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the program. So glad to have you here, where we've got some more shocking video to bring you today. Coming up at the end of the program in the Radical Rant, yet again, the Baltimore Police Department is caught on their own body cams planting drug evidence. This is rippling through the drug reform community. See, Drug Policy Alliance just got this tweeted out. Vice News did a great job of capturing this latest footage. We'll play that for you coming up in the rant. Also, we'll play you the footage from, it was just 2 weeks ago, folks, 2 weeks ago, where we had the shocking footage coming out of Baltimore where they were planting drug evidence. The most recent footage is nighttime footage at a traffic stop, but otherwise the same old story. That's coming up in the Radical Rant. Also on the show today, we'll have time to do some reefer madness debunking. There's an interesting Freedom of Information Act request that brought forth a document from the Drug Enforcement Administration. This was from 2012, as legalization was just taking hold in America, and it was a briefing to their Midwestern counterparts about how medical marijuana was leading people to believe that marijuana was safer than heroin and amphetamines and cocaine. Wow, why would people think such a thing? So we'll take a look at that and kind of chuckle at some of the fear-mongering from the Drug Enforcement Administration that has led to now 29 medical cannabis states and Gallup polls and Pew Research showing well above 80% support for the legalization of medical marijuana, and above 60% support in most recent polls for the legalization of all adult use of marijuana. That's coming up on the show today, right after we get to the cannabis headline news, some amazing stories, especially detailing some friends of ours in Northern California. If you know about Eddie Lepp, the Rastafarian minister who served part of a 10-year sentence in federal prison, well, we've got an update for him and his farm, a terrible event that took place recently in the news. That's all coming up next, right now, on the Cannabis Headline News.
This is your Cannabis Headline News, brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your cannabis headline news for Wednesday, August 2nd, 2017. I'm Russ Belville. The trial of South Africa's so-called Dacha couple, Jules Stobbs and Myrtle Clark, has begun in the Pretoria High Court, but sputtered as the state is fighting to have evidence of marijuana's medical efficacy stricken from the proceedings. Stobbs and Clark's case, if decided in their favor, would declare as legal the use and sale of marijuana, known as Dacha, in South Africa. The trial originates from their 2010 arrest for possessing and dealing marijuana. The state has argued that articles and evidence submitted to the court that detail the medical uses of cannabis are irrelevant because the court should only be focusing on the constitutionality of banning marijuana, not what the effects of marijuana may be. The judge has said that he couldn't decide whether evidence is irrelevant without hearing it in court, where the state could then make the objection to the relevance of the evidence. Stobbs and Clark are, at their own expense, flying in experts like Dr. Donald Abrams, a leading medical marijuana pioneer and oncologist from the University of California. These delays by the court are leading to rescheduling of flights that are increasing the cost to the couple. A shootout at a cannabis farm owned by the Rastafarian Church, headed by recently released drug war POW Eddie Lepp, has left one man dead and two Yuba County, California sheriff's deputies wounded. The deceased suspect had been working on the farm owned by Sugarleaf Rastafarian Church, according to Lepp's wife, Het Heidi. She says she received a call from other workers on the farm that the man, known as Sawyer, was ripping up plants and wielding a gun. Heidi Lepp told the workers to leave and called the authorities. When they arrived, the man ran into a home on the property. The woman at the property gave the deputies permission to enter. When they did, the suspect fired upon the deputies, who then shot back, killing him. While marijuana is legal in California, licenses for commercial farms have not yet been issued, and the Leps do not have a permit for the church to cultivate medical marijuana. A new Salt Lake Tribune-Hinckley Institute of Politics poll shows that 77% of Utah voters somewhat or strongly support a proposed medical marijuana initiative for the 2018 ballot. The proposed initiative, filed in June by a group called the Utah Patients Coalition, would allow the use of medical marijuana in the form of topicals, oils, and edibles for qualifying illnesses such as Alzheimer's disease, cancer, multiple sclerosis, post-traumatic stress, chronic pain, and autism. Smoking marijuana, driving while intoxicated by medical cannabis, and all public use would be prohibited. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety says that studies by the Highway Loss Data Institute and researchers at the University of Texas at Austin point to an increase in crash risk in states that legalized the recreational use of pot, but critics are calling the claim bogus. In the first study, researchers from the insurance industry found crash claims rose 3% in Colorado, Washington, and Oregon post-legalization compared to their western neighbors. Critics point out that their western neighbors, like Idaho, Wyoming, and Montana, lack high urban density traffic like these three legal state cities of Denver, Seattle, and Portland. The second study was hyped by the Institute despite the University of Texas authors pointing out there was no statistical significance to their findings. Meanwhile, numerous studies, most recently from Columbia University in December, have found a reduction in traffic fatalities among states that have passed medical marijuana laws. Insurers won't pay out over Kanye West's canceled tour because they claim the rapper's use of marijuana sparked his medical problems, according to a lawsuit. Kanye West's touring company is suing Lloyd's of London for $10 million over the 21 canceled dates. Very Good Touring said in a legal document filed on Tuesday that the London-based insurers have yet to pay up and are, quote, implying that Kanye's use of marijuana may provide them with the basis to deny the claim, end quote. West, age 40, was forced to cancel the remaining 21 dates of his tour and was treated at a psychiatric center in Los Angeles in November last year after falling ill. The artist spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on insurance with Lloyd's to cover the costs of a cancellation, but has yet to receive a payment, according to the document lodged in a California federal court. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Wednesday, August 2nd, 2017. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal potland Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm astonished to hear people suggest we can solve our heroin crisis. Have you heard this? By having more marijuana.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind. If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face-to-face with the monster of marijuana, he'd drop dead of fright.
You know, it's not easy trying to debunk 80 years of anti-marijuana propaganda in a one-hour podcast, but let's try. It's time for the Marijuana Agenda's Reefer Madness Debunked.
Today in Reefer Madness Debunked, we take a look at a document that was unearthed by muckrock.com. It's from the Drug Enforcement Administration, It's a drug intelligence brief dated June 27th, 2012, entitled Increased Availability of Hydroponic and Medical, scare quotes, medical, marijuana threatens the Midwest. Oh no, the threat of medical marijuana to the Midwest. And reading this document from 2012, and again, June of 2012, so before anybody had legalized marijuana, it's just illustrative to see how freaked out they are by the public coming to understand the relatively benign nature of cannabis and to recognize that the prohibition of it is far more harmful. So we have this document, and I'm scrolling down here to page 4 where it really gets funny. The document says, quote, a number of seizures in the Midwest involved marijuana packaged to market the product. Dispensaries in source states distribute the drug in small plastic sandwich-type bags with name stamps such as Kush, Purple, and Chronic. Like, oh no! It is also sold in other forms, including candy, beer, wine, brownies, and lollipops. Wait a minute. Hold the phone. There's medical marijuana beer? Haven't heard of that yet, but go on. Below are photos of medical marijuana products seized during 2012. The first photograph shows medical cannabis edibles from a Colorado dispensary. The close-up photograph shows that the label contains allergen information and the appropriate health warnings. Remember, they're positing this like it's a bad thing, right? Oh my God, the marijuana brownie tells you whether it's got allergens in it and has other appropriate health warnings? You mean unlike any illegal marijuana product would have? This is supposed to be scary. All right, they continue. The third and fourth photographs show packages from dispensaries in California. These labels indicate marketing techniques used by the dispensaries. These techniques include words such as Jedi from popular culture and the use of the word compassionate, which emphasize the perception that medical marijuana is intended to help people with serious illnesses. Yeah, we use Jedi. Okay. So you get to page 5 and you find out where their fear really lies. And it's hilarious in here because they say, as additional states legalize and or decriminalize the possession of marijuana, the abuse and trafficking of hydroponic and medical marijuana are likely to increase. Many members of the general public perceive marijuana as a safer drug than cocaine, heroin, methamphetamine, or other illegal substances. Yes, because many members of the general public understand basic biology, drug pharmacokinetics, and just their own damn eyes. I love this. Like, many members of the general public perceive marijuana as safer than cocaine, heroin, and meth. My God, how could that have happened? And to the DEA, really, you read through this document, and as far as they're concerned, it's because we legalized medical marijuana. That's why people think it's safer, because some law passed that convinced them that, oh, they put medical in front of it, must be safe. That's really, this is as late as 2012, folks. The DEA is trying to convince people that it wasn't that you went to school and smoked weed in college and then you got a degree and got a job and raised a family and your life turned out okay. It's not that you knew a whole bunch of people that smoked weed and some of them who still smoke weed and their lives turned out all right. It's not that you see people like Snoop Dogg and Willie Nelson and successful people like Richard Branson and Steve Jobs that have smoked weed and their lives have turned out okay. It's not that you've seen the story after story after story after story on the news of cannabis patients who are healed or greatly relieved through their use of medical cannabis. It's not the evidence that you've collected in your own day-to-day existence. No! No, it's that some liberal states went and passed a law. That's what caused the problem. I'll provide a link to this to the patrons up on the page at mjagenda.com. Remember, all these stories I do, you can get them ad-free and links to the original source documents and extras for just $4.20 a month. It's less than a quarter an episode, folks.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. If you're a cannabis brand looking to build trust and awareness within the community, consider becoming a sponsor of this program. Your message will be seen and heard by the most dedicated followers of marijuana policy reform, who are loyal and supportive of those brands that give back to the community. Just log on to MJAgenda.com and click the Become a Patron button to learn how your brand can also be featured in my live nationwide appearances. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association and the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Total war against public enemy number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
Experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill.
That was the point.
I think it would be a mistake to leave the state.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Don't smoke marijuana.
All right, folks, this next story is not an update on the story that we gave you 2 weeks ago. This is a brand new story involving the same Baltimore Police Department we reported on 2 weeks ago. As you may recall, it was a little less than 2 weeks ago, actually. The Baltimore Public Defender's Office released some video footage of their client from a January drug arrest that made it look like, at least as alleged, that the cops were planting drug evidence at the scene in order to frame these people's client, this public defender's client. And we showed that video to you. I'm going to show it to you again here during the rant. But that caused the update on that is that there's, I think, over 37, 40 or so cases that were dismissed that cop had been working on. And that cop has since been suspended. So now Vice News has posted, and this is now going around, CBS, other outlets have gotten hold of it, video from another public defender in Baltimore about a person who was pulled over, a woman named Shamir Collins is her name, and she was pulled over in November of last year, November 29th, on the suspicion she was engaging in a drug deal with the passenger in her car. So the timeline goes like this, about 11:43 p.m., and this is all on their body cam videos that have timestamps, right? So Vice went and wrote out, you know, what's the timestamp and what's the details, right? So about 11:43 p.m., officers searched the vehicle, including the area around the driver's seat, even removing parts of the dashboard and CD player. Quote, "I don't see anything," one officer is heard saying. The car was searched thoroughly for about 30 minutes, according to the Baltimore Public Defender's Office. At 12:21 a.m., so just about a half hour later, a different officer than the one who did the first search asks the other cops if anyone else had searched the area around the driver's seat. Remember, they searched the driver's seat already, removed the dashboard, the CD player. Has anyone searched around the driver's seat? And no response is given. Nobody, at least none that can be heard on the audio from the video there. Then at 12:22, just a minute later, the officer who asked if anyone had searched the seat area appears to re-examine the driver's seat area and, what do you know, pulls out a bag. The body camera footage from a different angle shows him pulling out the bag. "I knew it," one officer is heard saying. Another is heard saying the bag contains marijuana and other drugs, later determined to be heroin. All right, so I've got the video for you. You've got the setup. You kind of know what is going on. What you're going to see first is the first search by the cops where they're removing part of the dashboard, part of the CD player. And then you'll see the 30 minutes later when Super Cop shows up and magically finds the bag of marijuana and heroin. Here we go. All right. There he is. They're looking around in the dash area. Now, the footage kind of bounces up and down, but 40 minutes later, we see Super Cop shows up. There's Super Cop. In the inset, you can see the officer's body cam. He's rooting around the same area that's already been searched. Rooting around. What do we find sitting down
there? There you go.
Oh, look at there. What do you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Super Cop found.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they were freaking out.
That's the weed smell right there,
that's
too.
That's why they were freaking out.
Oh, these are like little fives.
Here. She had a maximum five in the pocket.
Magic how they found that, isn't it?
Some small bags, and here's some dinner.
Hey, I'm going to go hot just for this recovery and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I've been off because I wasn't obviously hiding, so.
I've been off, meaning I've had my body cam off. Yeah, I've been off. I had my body cam off, as the cops sometimes do when they decide that, oh, it's just not important for my body cam to be on. Mm-hmm. So let me show you the video from less than 2 weeks ago. This was the video of the cops that were planting the drug evidence out in the alley. Now, when it first starts, this video has no audio to it. And the reason why is because there's a buffer on these cameras that records video without audio before the cops turn them on. And what you saw at the very beginning of that was the cop dropping some drugs into a soup can and then hiding them underneath a board. You see his hand come forward as he tries to turn on his police camera. The two other cops are standing there near him.
I'm going to go check here.
Now the cop is going out into the back. Let's see what we can find. Oh, there's some boards. There's some garbage, some rubble. Let me poke around here a couple of times, pretend like I'm turning over a rock here and see what I get. Hey, gee whiz, what's under this board? Let me look under this board here. What do you know? Second thing I looked for, I found this can. And it has a bag full of drugs in it. What an amazing cop we have here. The person hiding the drugs allegedly wouldn't have hidden them in the back there, way behind anything else, right? They would have just dropped him off in the soup can right there. Where it's easy to find for Super Cop, who showed up on the scene.
Not yet.
And so this is what we are facing in America. We've got this happening all the time. And I just got to ask, why do cop body cams have an off button? What's up with the off button on the cop's body cams? Now, I've heard people talk about, well, they needed to be able to turn it off in cases of privacy when the people they're dealing with may want their privacy. These cams aren't being streamed live on the internet. It's not like everybody is seeing them 24/7. Why can't we have the police body cams that are turned on and left on for the entire time that the person is on duty? We are entrusting these people with guns. And they are killing three of us per day on average. The least we could ask is that their every minute of duty is on film and audio so that we can determine whether or not they're lying on the stand. We can determine whether or not the people that have been brutalized and in some cases killed have a legitimate case against these cops that, again, we're supposed to have some good cops somewhere, but they all seem to back each other. They all seem to follow that blue line, that blue wall of silence whenever one of these bad cops is turning up. In each one of these cases in the Baltimore situation, it wasn't one cop planting the evidence. It was one cop planting the evidence as two other cops are watching. So we got a situation where at least you got to have, four cops before we can find one good one who's going to stop that kind of shenanigans from going on? In the first case, the daytime case, the daytime video I showed you, the response from the police department has been, well, I don't know if it's the police department or the police union or their lawyers, but the response, the defense, has been, well, they were just trying to recreate the scene. They're just trying to recreate how they legitimately found the drugs in the first place. Oh, just too bad for them. Their cameras were turned off when they found the evidence, right? Just
unfortunate event for the cops. Their cams were turned off when they found the evidence legitimately, so they had to turn them on and plant the evidence and recreate what it was like when they first found it. Sure, that's still tampering with evidence. Even if that's your defense is that you were trying to manufacture video of your evidence. That's your defense. Following this second release, this nighttime release, this video, the Baltimore Police Department has had to underscore that they will not stand for police recreating their fines. You can't just recreate it. You have to find it legitimately. Hey, turn on the cameras all the time. Then you won't have to worry about whether they found it legitimately or not. You'd know that, hey, they found it because the cam was on the whole time. And this concern about privacy is a red herring. It's a total red herring. First of all, like I said, the cams aren't streaming 24/7. Personally, I'd like to see them streaming 24/7, but not to the public. Stream it to an ombudsman. Stream it to an independent third party that's keeping an eye on these guys. But if we can't go that far, keep them on 24/7. Keep them on so that they're permanently recording. And that when the cop gets done with the shift, the cop has to take that cam off and put it on a little charging station. And that charging station downloads all that video and stores it and archives it. And that video should be accessible to journalists, to the public, through Freedom of Information Act requests. And we've more than got the technology now to be able to blur out the faces of people who are innocent. You know, we watched this on Cops for how many years? How many years did we watch Cops on Fox where they'd be busting people? And, you know, the Cops show would always start off, suspects are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law, right? And they'd blur their faces out because that's true. They are innocent until proven guilty. Why can't we do the same thing with the cop body cams? If there's a Freedom of Information Act request to get these cop body cams that then pulls up footage of innocent civilians that happen to be in the background, or pulls up the suspect's face or identifying information before they're convicted, there's no reason why we can't blur that out digitally. We've got that kind of technology. I think it's a small price to ask, a small cost to ask here, of digitally recording every police officer's shift at all times, people that are entrusted to carry guns and shoot them at us. I don't think it's too much to ask them to have their activities recorded at all times while they're at work. They are our public servants. They are supposed to be working for us. If we can't supervise them, if we can't see what they're up to, if we can't have proof of their actions and to be able to trust that when they're on the stand, they're telling the truth, then we've got a serious problem with administering justice in this country. We've got a serious problem with the very foundation of our democracy. I can't tell you how many people in my community tell you, it's a common joke. How can you tell when a cop is lying? He's on the stand. And that shouldn't be funny. That shouldn't even elicit a chuckle. We should be horrified by the idea that cops are wholesale making up evidence against people, many people who are innocent. We should be horrified, mortified by that, but it's so commonly understood that it actually has a name. It's called testa-lying. It's actually called testa-lying. It's something we accept and understand as a regular occurrence within our justice system, and this cannot be allowed to stand. People of good conscience, whether you smoke weed, don't smoke weed, think it ought to be legal, think it ought to be illegal, should not be accepting of cops planting evidence on camera and then accepting that what? They're just suspended? They just go and get a cop job somewhere else? Why don't we have a national database of everybody who's ever been a cop? And if you're fired for that reason or you're suspended for that reason, you never get to be a cop again. We never trust you with carrying a gun amongst us again. That's all the time we got. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com. You're planted, you're growing, you're giant, you're rolling, you're smoking.
you take a swing, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a swing, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.